This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
The rest of our show is going to be about ghosts, spirits, and things that go bump in the night. And we've got a special guest in the studio with us for our second hour. We're very lucky tonight, Sonia.
I know. Spoilt for choice.
We really are. We've got Tony Pittman, who does the reality check. And you're on Monday nights now, is it?
I'm on Tuesday nights. Yeah, actually, 10 Tuesday o'clock night. Tuesday nights for Reality Check, the skeptical show.
That's right. You can tell we do our research on this show. Monday, Tuesday, it's all the same. Well, thanks for coming on, Tony, and having a chat to us.
Hey, thanks for having me, you guys.
So, look, ghosts are one of those sort of things that people tend to bring about. I mean, from as far back as the Middle Ages, we've got stories of ghosts and spirits and omens, and it's come right through to Gothic times and even through to the modern day, where you've got things, people who do ghostbuster hunting type things.
Oh, yeah, those TV shows, ghost hunters and things, yeah.
Why do you think people still believe in ghosts, Tony?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, and it's not just in Western culture. It's pretty much throughout the whole world. There is that belief in pretty much all cultures that when people die, their spirit lingers somewhere, and sometimes spirits can hang around in a place or come back. I reckon that, well, one reason why it hangs around is because it's a belief that's so embedded in so many cultures that, you know, that kind of deeply held belief doesn't disappear that quickly. And I think it's partly got to do with the fact that it's related to life after death. So maybe in a way that thought is kind of comforting to some people that, well, our consciousness will continue after death, and that the fact that ghosts exists kind of indicate that. Now, as a skeptic, I'd have to say I don't believe there is any evidence for life after death, nor do I believe there is evidence for ghosts. And just to actually complete that question, I think that maybe these days probably we are seeing belief in ghosts dropping off, particularly in the Western world. And maybe it's because, you know, we live in a high-tech world, and we live in a world where cameras and recording equipment is everywhere, and
they haven't caught any ghosts yet.
And we haven't caught any ghosts yet.
And it's like the Loch Ness Monster.
Well, that's right, or Bigfoot,
where,
or UFOs, that's right.
That's it. Well, I mean, one of the reasons, I suppose, that people still have these beliefs and that they're perpetuated, you've got your television mediums and your clairvoyants who claim to speak to spirits or people on the other side. Do you think that any of them believe that they can communicate with spirits, or do you think most of them are just out for a quick buck?
That's a good question. There are a lot of people, like particularly who have TV shows, people like John Edward is a very famous one who had a show, Crossing Over. And, yeah, a lot of mediums and psychics who claim to communicate with our departed loved ones. I mean, that's hard to say. I think most people who are, you know, just your auntie or your neighbor or something like that, most people like that genuinely believe that they have some kind of psychic communication. I mean, otherwise they wouldn't do it. I mean, that'd be a bit strange to...
They're not making any money out of it.
Exactly.
My auntie who reads the tea leaves isn't getting anything out of that.
Exactly. Now, as for the really big time ones who make millions of dollars out of it, like John Edward, you know, I don't know. I suspect that he and other people like him know perfectly well that they're faking. But, you know, it's maybe they get so involved in it that they've forgotten really what they're doing in the
end. Well, that's it. They kind of spin so much that they lose sight of it. Well, I mean, there's been a lot of shows. There've been a lot of skeptics who've gone out there and kind of debunked the powers or the claimed powers of these mediums. And when they do that, like when ghost hunters or skeptics show them up as frauds, they're very rarely congratulated for doing that. I mean, people don't like to have the rug taken out from under them when it comes to these sorts of things. Why do you think that people will, in the face of evidence, that it's a fraud or a mock-up, why do they maintain this belief? Do you have any sort of thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, I think it comes back to the fact that for a lot of people, it's just very comforting. It's very reassuring. It's something that they've grown up with, that belief. And people just don't change overnight, you know. You can't just go there and pull the curtain back and say, look, there's a man behind the curtain, or in this case, well, there's nothing.
That's yeah. Right. It's a draft, and maybe you should get new windows.
Creaky steps.
Do you know what I mean? And you'd be saving power too if you got those cracks blocked up.
Yes.
Very much so. But it just, I suppose, shows the power. I hate to use the word self-delusion, but sort of that you can make yourself believe or
is it self-delusion? Is it not mass delusion?
I don't know if it...
On a self level.
It could be. But do you think that there is a way to sort of wean people off these ideas? Or at least
maybe we should get rid of Christmas to start with and stop telling children that there's a guy that comes down your chimney.
But hang on.
I'm sorry.
What do you mean?
Not 100% skeptic then, huh? We need to start when they're, you know, popping out of the womb, I reckon.
So how do you think we can encourage greater scepticism?
Well, very good question. I mean, I think that scepticism kind of grows just by planting some seeds of doubt. Like, you can't expect to meet someone who's a believer and then convince them in a few minutes that everything that they've believed until now is wrong. But as skeptics, we can, you know, we can just get people into the habit of what we call critical thinking, which is just questioning your beliefs, questioning why you believe it. Is there any evidence for that belief? Let's investigate the evidence. Is that good evidence? And so I think all you have to do is raise a few doubts in people's minds. For some people, maybe they've never even heard anyone question the existence of ghosts. Or like religious people.
They were just accepted.
Yeah, yeah, some of them have never even heard anyone question the existence of God or whatever the strongly held belief is. And so
the two go together, because without God, then you don't need to believe that there's, I guess, life after death or limbo after death if you're a ghost.
Sonia, you've raised a very interesting question there.
No, what time is it?
Do we have another 3 hours? Now, could there be ghosts without God? I think there are people out there who would believe in ghosts, but not necessarily believe in a kind of theistic personal God.
I think many gods.
Yeah.
I think people would believe that maybe even the idea of ghosts came about a fair bit earlier than at least the modern monotheistic view of a Christian God or a... that people believed in things like the afterlife perhaps well before that.
Yeah, well, I mean, particularly if you look at kind of Chinese religion and beliefs, in a lot of those traditional beliefs, there's not really a god, or there are some gods, but it's a lot about ghosts and ancestors and things like
and
that.
Possessing trees and inanimate objects. It's right through the whole Asian Pacific area, Oceania area as well.
We're speaking to Tony Pittman on Sci-Fi and Squeam tonight. So, Tony, you mentioned older culture. Well, not older cultures, but you mentioned sort of further back in Chinese culture, you had almost ancestor spirits or ghosts of benevolent ghosts or ghosts that would teach people or protect them. Does that kind of explain why they might be so persistent? Because people believe that they've got ghosts or spirits watching over them?
Oh, like looking after them. Like, yeah, possibly. I mean, a lot of people, especially, you know, psychics always talk about your, what do they call, like your guardian angels and spirit guides and things like that. Yeah, I'm sure they're all kind of different versions of the same idea that there's some imaginary friend, basically, who's there to look out for you. I mean,
So they're not real?
Well, Sonia, yours are. Yours
they are. They're here in the studio.
Yeah, we can see them, yeah. But but most other people's are not real, actually.
So, oh.
Yeah, I didn't want to break it to you so abruptly. But I mean, I think it comes back to that kind of comforting idea. You know, even if people are scared of ghosts, scared to go into a house at night, a deserted house, there is some level of comfort in just the general idea that, oh, yes, well, you know, I'm going to continue after I'm dead kind of thing.
We might go to one of your special tracks you've chosen for us.
Oh, excellent.
And then you can tell us a little bit about why you chose that. And we'll continue to put you under the spotlight. You're listening to Sonia, Kaz and Tony on Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam with Sonia and Kaz on Joy 94.9. We've been speaking about ghosts and spirits and things that go bump in the night with our special guest, Tony Pittman, who's joined us on the show. And just before that track, we were talking to Tony about what he thinks about people's beliefs in ghosts. But do you want to tell us a little bit about the track that we just played?
Sure, yeah, I like that song. It's from a website called symphonyofscience.com. And I'll just tell you, the song that I just played was called We Are All Connected. It's one of the four songs on that site. And they're songs made by a guy who uses voices of famous scientists from famous documentaries like Carl Sagan's Cosmos, and he obviously, as you could hear in the song, he makes melodies. He changes the tone of their voices and makes tunes. And that song we heard featured the voices of Carl Sagan, Bill Nye, Richard Feynman, and Neil deGrasse Tyson, all very famous popularizers of science from the United States.
Very much so. It's probably the first time I've been able to listen to Richard Feynman and actually understand what he was saying, because he's very he's a physicist, isn't he, Richard Feynman?
Yeah, I don't know very much about him, but yeah, I think he is a physicist, yeah.
He's a very clever man, and he speaks about very high science concepts.
Yeah, exactly. He's into, I think all the string theory stuff.
Ah, string theory, yes. I don't know where I stand on string. I'm not clever enough to really appreciate it. I don't really know where I stand on string theory, to be honest.
It's hard to stand on it, actually.
Well, apparently we are standing on it. Everything is strings.
Everything's stringy and web-like. Apparently. It's actually more like a web, I think, like a fine sort of alluvial webs that interconnect us all through electrical energy or something.
Yeah, you could publish that. Sonia, you could revolutionize. You could revolutionize particle theory.
We know what happened to poor Darwin.
Yes. Yes, he's remembered as a genius.
That's how we talk about science fiction on this show, and not actual science, because it's a little bit complicated. So we're talking about ghosts.
So do you think it is time that we as human apes should dump? You were talking before about you know, cultural connections and things like that. Do you think we should dump those cultural traditions in favour of pure rationality and scientific understanding? Or do you think, kind of like what we said before, we need to still hold on to these sort of cultural touch points in order to stop us from losing our cultural identities? Because what do we become then?
Well,
if we give it all up.
I mean, I think it's important to distinguish between reality and myth and fiction. So you can keep, if there are certain aspects of certain cultures that you find interesting, certain Chinese legends or, you know, Indian mythology, I find all that stuff really, really interesting and fascinating. And, you know, they're interesting stories. Maybe there are lessons. There is wisdom in those stories.
Makes
a
good movie.
Makes great movies sometimes, exactly.
Sometimes.
Great TV series, Magic Monkey, one of my favorite of all time. But, you know, it's important to distinguish that, well, hey, these are myths. They didn't actually happen. And so let's look at our culture and see what are interesting things we can learn from, and let's just always distinguish, well, this is what we know happened, or this is what we know about how the universe is and how it functions. And then this other stuff, it's either myth or maybe it's conjecture or it's not real. But no, I mean, imagine if we didn't have any stories and cultural references and things, life would be very boring.
Very boring.
We'd be like in one of those dystopian movies that you guys have spoken about.
That's right. It would be depressing.
It would be depressing.
So how far do we go by weaning out the believers?
No one's really talking about... We sound like we're going to...
We're not talking about eugenics.
Set up concentration camps.
Weaning out,
and
all that's
the
not right. Weaning out, I meant weaning out.
Well, maybe
weaning
more,
off
not,
the
not,
breast
not
of
Not so much the believers.
Belief.
It's more the beliefs. Yeah.
The breast of belief.
Well, I mean, you know, if you're asking me, my kind of ideal society would be one in which, you know, people enjoy art, people enjoy thinking, people enjoy an intellectual life, people write books, they like fiction, they like movies, but they also, when it comes to reality, when it comes
yeah,
to
they
really,
know how to separate
they know how
those
to separate
things,
it. They
yeah.
know, well, in the field of medicine, in the field of science, even in the field of politics, when politics have to decide about how to expend public resources or whatever, my ideal world would be that they make those decisions based on...
And a purely secular way too,
yeah,
but they
yeah,
don't.
Secular and
the fact of
no,
the matter is
don't.
We have politics seems to be 90% worldwide that is bringing in a lot of religious interests. And as long as the Catholic Church, for example, still has an exorcism department, how on earth,
yeah.
do we ever... Yeah.
Well, look at the very fact that same-sex couples cannot get married in Australia. There is absolutely no rational reason for that. There is only...
There's a religious reason,
yeah.
obviously.
Irrational
just
reasons.
Just keeps going back to that, doesn't
largely
it?
Largely based in religion, yeah, exactly. So, yeah, that's my ideal world. So, if you listen to Reality Check on Tuesday nights, you will...
The plug. That's cool, that's cool.
Then we will achieve, together we will achieve the ideal world.
But you have a thing for Japanese ghost stories, is that correct? Or Japanese
yeah,
ghost movies?
You quite like them, don't you? Yeah, like you
Why do you like
what,
them?
What kind of ghost movies I like? And I like those kind of, I guess it's kind of a fairly recent fad, like in the last 10 years that...
The last decade it certainly has been.
Yeah, the kind of Japanese movies which often feature... Women with long hair in
crawling around and
crawling
ceilings
around.
And floors and
yeah,
yeah.
So
and
stuff like
90.
The ring and
Ringu
dark water
and,
dark
and
water. The
ring,
eye, that
dark
sort of thing.
Water, the eye, exactly. And there's another one I actually enjoyed. I don't know if it got people. Many people saw it called The Tale of Two Sisters.
Yes, the South Korean one.
Yeah,
that was pretty bloody.
Yeah,
I liked it.
That
it was good.
One. I liked that one. It was
and great interior design.
Oh, fantastic!
They're
yeah.
almost like the. Scandinavians of, you know, of Asia, South Korean architecture. Anyway,
yes,
sorry.
Yes,
going
yes.
off.
But so there's another one with, I think it featured even, and I think it also featured a woman with long black hair creeping around at some
but
point.
But it's interesting, the actual looking at that, I was looking through some Japanese sites actually, and the long black hair aspect was quite interesting because it's a sign of a pure beauty. Of feminine beauty is dark, particularly long, shiny black hair. It's a symbol of the ultimate beauty in Japanese culture. So it's interesting how it's seen in these films as vengeful, vindictive, and disheveled. Definitely bad hair days. And covers the whole face, pretty much, doesn't it?
Yeah, in especially in Ring. Yeah, that's right.
And also... I believe in kabuki plays and prints, there was a lot of ghost stories and ghosts had this long black hair. So that's going back culturally.
Mm-hmm. And, well, actually, Sonia, coming back to your previous question, like, this is a perfect example. I really enjoy ghost movies and I get scared in them. You know, I love that thrill of being scared in them. And yet, I don't believe in ghosts. At all. I can go into any supposedly haunted house and I don't feel afraid because I don't believe in ghosts. So, you know, yet I can really enjoy a...
You can switch it on and off.
Exactly, like, yeah. Because,
maybe you just
know,
don't need that serotonin endorphin rush that some people get from, you know, scary films, and then they actually probably want to have that same experience when they get out of the cinema. I don't know.
Well, I think a lot of people do genuinely fear ghosts. You know, I have friends who once we were going to go on a motorbike ride together in a forest at night, and he wouldn't go because he was scared of
because of the ghost ghosts that lived in the forest.
Exactly, yep. Exactly. Mm. So, you know, I think people do have genuine fears, but, you know, I would just say if you're afraid of ghosts, just think about it. No one has ever found any evidence for ghosts, so...
No, and they've tried to find it, though.
And they've certainly tried to find it. Yeah, it's all just little anecdotes about something that someone saw out of the corner of their eye in a dark house or something. Well, yeah.
And it's funny that you mentioned that you go to ghost movies, or you sort of, you know, or you'd walk into a haunted house, you might not feel anything. Because a lot of scientists, I think they just recently did a study where they say that hauntings, or that feeling of being haunted, is actually a very real thing. Mm. However, it's not ghosts. It could be a particularly strong magnetic field. It could be just the lighting in a particular place, and people tend to have the same sort of responses whenever they go there. And that explains why certain areas... So maybe your friend, that forest, maybe there'd be lots of people who didn't want to drive through it because it was a bit of a spooky place. So there could be a genuine reason people
feel
scared. And because
people have oral histories and they say, well, you don't go to a certain place at a certain time of the day. Like there are places like, for example, in New Zealand where you cannot even dip your foot in certain lakes. And then you see tourists jumping in and that can cause a lot of... unsettlement.
But right. I think you were right, Tony, when you said you shouldn't let that get the best of your reasonable, rational mind. Just because you might feel fear in a certain area doesn't mean you should automatically think, well, there must be something supernatural, must be something out of the ordinary.
Yeah, exactly. And I reckon that maybe for me, one of the... I mean, okay, if any listeners out there are a bit afraid of ghosts, just think about this. Why is it that ghosts only ever appear in really kind of ambiguous situations where it's kind of dark anyway, so it's hard to see, so it might have been a ghost, but it might not? Why don't they just pop up in broad daylight on the television in some really public and obvious place? Why is it that they're always somewhere where no one is actually going to see them? You know, it's like...
Well, they haven't. There is an argument for that. People say that ghosts will only show themselves to people who are in the right frame of mind.
Oh.
See how how some defenders of ghosts turn it around. Ghosts. Yeah, it makes
the ghosts told them to say
it
that,
makes
though.
Just as much sense as it sounded like it did. But people will again. It just shows you how far people will go to convince themselves.
Mm-hmm. And I think I would switch the causal connection there. It's not the ghosts that have come to the person in the right frame of mind. It's the right frame of mind that creates the ghost.
Absolutely. Wrong frame of mind.
Sometimes you might have had a couple too many drinks,
exactly.
And
well, not enough to eat. Low blood sugar can do that.
Yes, it could, and then. This hour of the night could also do that.
That's right. We were saying you're coming on at the witching hour.
That's right.
Midnight.
Yes.
And I think we're going to play another track that you've chosen, Tony. So who's this by?
This is by Bella Nova. It's a Mexican pop group.
Ah. Ooh. Welcome back to Sci-Fi and Scream with Sonia and Kaz and our special skeptical friend, Tony, from Reality Check. Catch that on Tuesday nights.
At 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock.
And that track was one of Tony's picks. Do you want to tell us a little bit about it?
Oh, well, it's just by a Mexican pop group called Bella Nova. I think they're from Guadalajara in Mexico. Mm. And it came out about 3 or 4 years ago. And I just like that happy little song. It's called Niño, meaning little boy.
Niño. Mm. And we've been talking a little bit about ghosts and spirits, but also science behind how the world works. You've got a few recommendations for the listeners, maybe some things I should check out.
Yeah, well, we just Googled a couple of things. One was we Googled Richard Feynman because we talked about him a little while ago when we were talking about the song that we played before. And so we just wanted to check a little bit of detail about him. He's actually dead now. He died in 1988, and he was an American physicist involved in quantum theory, and yeah, some of his work was very influential in string theory as well. And I also just wanted to recommend to people that if they want to understand string theory and M theory and all this complicated particle physics stuff, you can get a DVD called The Elegant Universe. I think it's a three or four part series. I just got it from Port Phillip Library. I borrowed it. The Elegant Universe is the name, and it's the best clear explanation of string theory that I've seen, and why string theory is important to know, and why it's really important what's going on now in Geneva at the Large Hadron Collider. Like what the discoveries that they're going to make there, why they're important to how we're going to understand the universe and reality.
Well, that's it, because there are lots of things that happen that we may not understand or be able to explain, but it doesn't mean that in the future, you know, we won't have an explanation for it. It could be very possible that with these technologies, we're going to be able to explain things that we see as phenomena.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. I think that, you know, who knows what kind of particles or what understandings they're going to get about the nature of matter and the nature
dark
of reality.
Matter.
They're still yet to explain what dark matter is. Yeah. They don't know what it is, but they know that it's there.
It's there. And
yeah,
it's,
well, it's a theory. They've never
actually
observed
it. But they go hunting for the theories, and that's what you have to say. I'm so glad there are people out there doing that. I mean, yep. I just don't have the time myself.
Otherwise, you'd be right out there.
I'd be out there looking for the dark matter right now. But I'm just so pleased there are people doing that. I just wish they had more time on TV or real reality TV would be excellent.
Yeah, well, I have to second that, I must say. But
there are very few scientists who get their own shows on network television, even few of them. They get less than the ghost hunters do. There's a group called the Atlantic Paranormal Society, or TAPS, and they provide a free service investigating paranormal phenomena. Now, they do this free of charge to help people and to contribute to their own research. They offer copies of any recordings or information that they've gathered to the client. And they actually came to prominence through a television show called Ghost Hunters on the Sci-Fi Channel in the US. TAPS sends groups out to investigate phenomena, and then they'll rate the site that they check as haunted or not haunted. I just pulled this from their website. They said, "Remember, though we like to have fun, we understand the fear and the seriousness of your situation. We are, after all, normal people. Heck, I don't think we even watch Star Trek. Ha, ha, ha. So if you're having trouble dealing with paranormal influences in your life, contact TAPS and we will commit to do our very best to help you." I didn't let that Star Trek jab in there.
I don't mind
Star
that
Trek.
At all.
At least that's kind of based on science. Jesus. On the other side of the coin, you have groups like the Franklin County Ghost Debunkers, who use scientific method to find rational explanation for phenomena. They also provide their services free of charge, and they claim to have over 4 years of field investigation experience. This was on their website, so this is what they say about themselves. "We, the members of FCGD, take on paranormal investigations to satisfy our scientific and personal curiosities. We make it our aim to judge evidence harshly and scrutinize stories, while never forcing our ideas onto others. We believe both ghost hunters and debunkers can contribute much to the field and can learn from each other." So there's room for
collaboration. It'd be great to go to a convention of those sort of people.
That'd be very interesting.
And if you could buy the ghost busting equipment.
But I just want to make a comment about those kind of ghost hunters. And this comes back to something that you just said before, Sonia, about people. It's great that people are out there with theories doing real science, you know, investigating string theory or whatever theories they have about the universe. They have a hypothesis and then they try to falsify that hypothesis or, you know, use the scientific method. But of course, the problem with the ghost hunters is that they don't use the scientific method in any way. They don't start off with some kind of hypothesis about Well, if ghosts existed, this is how they would have to function. True. And then they take their equipment and test it.
Or just cut to the chase and do psychological assessments of people first.
Exactly.
Maybe show them some, you know, certain pictures and see what happens.
That's right. But see, the thing is that they go into a haunted house with this so-called, you know, equipment, thermometers or whatever, and whatever happens... they'll say that's evidence of a ghost. So the temperature goes up, oh, that's a ghost. The temperature goes down, that's a ghost.
It's Melbourne weather.
That's right.
What that is.
That's right. So maybe every place is haunted in Melbourne.
Yes. Well, I've done the Melbourne ghost tour, and I can tell you that, yeah, there are a few spots in here, all right, that you just don't want to go messing about in, like the Victoria Market car park, because apparently that used to be a cemetery.
Well, now it's a car park. Now so it's a car park. Similar.
So ghosts can't get through tarmac. So,
that's a relief. Yeah.
That's what I'm.
Or engine oil.
I'm most probably relieved about. Yeah. Or detritus from fruit and veg.
Well, maybe the ghosts can't get through the car park, Caroline. But what about the zombies?
Oh my god!
No, we don't want to start on zombies.
Don't zombies. I thought we were talking about things that didn't exist here. All right. Zombies are real. Start worrying people about zombies.
Hey, look, okay, ghosts may not exist, but Santa Claus and zombies, come on.
And the Easter Bunny.
And the Easter Bunny.
And JC. Yep, they're real. They're real.
He hasn't struck us down yet, so...
Yep. No, that's his dad that does that.
It's warming up his lightning rod as we speak.
He's charging it up. So we're speaking about ghosts, spirits and that sort of thing on Sci-Fi and Squeam tonight. We've been speaking to Tony Pittman from The Reality Check Show. It's on Tuesdays at 10 o'clock. And Tony's sceptical about ghosts and their existence, of course. There has been, as Tony said correctly, there's been no evidence presented to convince us that ghosts actually exist. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9. We're almost at the end of our show. We've been lucky enough to have Tony Pittman speaking with us about ghosts and spirits and that kind of thing and their place in our natural world. Brad's messaged in and said, well, wouldn't that be Thor charging Yogi's lightning rods? And yes, you're right. I don't think God has lightning rods. That would be Thor, god of...
Zeus had them.
God of
thunder,
or Zeus, yeah. So, yes, we've been talking about ghosts and spirits and that kind of thing. And I've just got a few tips if you want to be a genuine ghost hunter. You can't just go out there, you know, on a whim and do this sort of thing. And guys, feel free to throw your own tips in here. If you're a long-time fan of Ghostbusters or you've sat in front of an episode of Supernatural thinking, I could do that. No pun intended there if you've seen what those boys look like. Here's our guide to what you need to be a genuine professional ghost hunter. You need a uniform. A good pair of grey coveralls. You can usually find those at Savers or an op shop. If you want a less obvious look, go for jeans and a t-shirt, but make sure you layer it with a really tough looking leather jacket, the collar turned up, so people know you ain't afraid of no ghost. You need a getaway vehicle. So yeah. That's always good for falling
Vespas,
asleep in.
Maybe not.
Vespas are no good. You need a big car for falling asleep in on stakeouts or speeding away in after a disgruntled property owner comes at you with a pitchfork because they're suspicious about what you're doing, parked in their neighbourhood for 4 hours with a pair of binoculars.
Maybe a bit of leaf blower.
Leaf blower, maybe.
They might come at you with a leaf blower.
They probably would do it. That's what they do now. Throw their iPods at you. You'll need a partner. This is someone who can keep you company on those cold nights and substantiate your claims. They can also actually play the pranks on you when they think you're taking it all too seriously. And finally, no ghost hunter is complete without a basic equipment kit. You'll need a flashlight for examining dark and spooky places. This also comes in handy when you accidentally flash it on a window or a mirror and see your own reflection. This will inevitably freak you out, leading you to use item number 2, which is a handy incontinence pad. You need a digital camera or a video camera to record ghost sightings. And just be sure that you never, ever clean the lens because smudges and dirt will be sure to give you evidence of spiritual interference in your shots. An EMF or electromagnetic field meter is also an invaluable tool. It will allow you to read a ghost's energy field or just to check if your toaster's
working.
And
if you can't get one of those, use a TomTom.
Yeah, use a GPS or your mobile phone.
That'll work, won't it?
Use the Ghost Hunter app on your iPhone. Lastly, be sure to take along some booze because if you're drunk, you are far more likely to encounter
make sure
ghost
spirits.
Phenomena. Spirits. Boom, boom.
Some of the best advice I've heard for a long
absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely. Don't you think that would set you up? to be a top-notch ghost hunter?
I think with all that stuff, you would definitely see something at least.
Yeah. Well, the people who see you will definitely be seeing
probably
something.
The police, and I don't mean the group.
But, yeah, people get up to all sorts of crazy shenanigans. I remember once when my sisters and my brother and I were very young, we thought the house on the corner was haunted.
Of course it was.
And so we went and checked it out, and we took fingerprint dust, which was just flour, and we tried to find...
We tried
the scientific methods. We tried to find out if anything had gone into the house or moving around in there. God, we're such idiots. But
what do the people who live there, what do they think?
Oh, see, they were always away on holidays. So I think that contributed to it, because it was a big empty house.
Yep.
No one was there. They had a pool. We came up with this idea that someone had drowned in the pool and their spirit was haunting. No, we didn't light a fire.
In the middle of the room?
But we were bored. Yeah. We were living in the middle of nowhere, and we just came up with this crazy...
Did you find any ghost fingerprints?
We didn't. We found our own fingerprints.
Demon prints either on the floor.
No demon hoof prints.
No.
No.
It's disappointing.
And no apparitions at all. I'm afraid.
No possessions.
Nothing. No possessions. It was just, you know, just disappointing.
Yes, but Caroline, you missed the point. Ghosts don't leave fingerprints, so the fact that you didn't find fingerprints...
It's evidence!
Evidence!
Oh, my God.
And were you there during the day?
I was there during the day.
So have you been there at night? That would have been different.
We probably weren't allowed out at night.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Because you're creeping
breaking
around people's
an entry,
houses.
I think it's called.
That's exactly right.
Mm.
You're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam. We're almost coming to the end of the show.
Oh, we've got another
SMS.
This is great. Great conversation on ghosts, spirits and things. Highly recommend going to Chesterfield House in Talbot. Is it Talbot or Talbo?
Talbot.
Was there last weekend and spirits were active. Betty. Oh, excellent, Betty. We'll have to look that up. Chesterfield House, it must be quite a well-known haunted house.
I think that we should make that a combined Reality Check Sci-Fi and Squeam excursion.
A crossover.
Oh, we'll yeah. We'll take a Ouija board with us.
An on-site investigation.
Maybe some wedges as well.
Cool. We brand it Skeptics versus Believers and just have a big...
Wear raincoats.
Ghost off and...
ectoplasm on each other or something. Maybe not. Thanks, Betty. I'll write that down.
And just check it out. Yeah, there are a few places people have claimed that old Melbourne Jail is a bit
That's
haunted.
Popular.
You can do a ghost tour there. I mean, really, the only people haunting you are the ones who want you to buy something from the gift shop, but that's all right. And a few different, I think there's another jail further down the coast. Might even be Warrnambool or a place in Warrnambool that people claim is haunted. So every place has their little legends.
Hmm. Well, you know what? Thanks, Tony. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much, girls. I've really had a very fun night.
It's been great to have you on the show.
It's been a riot, actually.
Let's do it again.
Oh, definitely.
Maybe.
Definitely.
I don't know.
I'll come back even if you don't want me to.
I have to contact my spirit guide and see what they think.
Yeah. Yep.
Check our omens.
Yep.
Yeah.
And check our mail.
Kill a few chickens, check out their livers.
Welcome back. Sci-Fi and Squeam with Sonia and Kaz. And that was the Irrepressible Tony, who's now leaving the building. And we had Anthony and the Johnstons playing a great track from his most recent album.
And we've had Betty message us back and say, check out langtonghosttours.com. Jackie does tours in Williamstown and weekend trips.
Cool.
If you're interested in checking that sort of thing out. Just got a little bit of news for you as we hit the end of the show. There's been some interesting casting and movie news coming through. Blake Lively from Gossip Girl has been cast as the love interest, Carol Ferris, in the upcoming Green Lantern flick. Now, rumour has it Peter Sarsgaard is in negotiations to play Dr. Hector Hammond, the villain
wonderful.
Of the piece. He is wonderful.
Can his wife be on it too?
Maggie Gyllenhaal. I'm sure they could find something for her. The Captain America film is going ahead. It's currently in pre-production, but there's been no casting news yet. We're hoping it's slightly better than the dodgy 1990 version. Wolverine 2 and Star Trek 2 are set to film for 2012 releases. Star Trek 2 was definitely a given, but for me, Wolverine 2 is a little bit of a surprise. And Harrison Ford has hinted to MTV that an Indiana Jones 5 is in very early stages of development. Kill it now.
Will he be having a Zimmer frame on set?
Oh, Christ.
I
don't
care. I thought he was wonderful back in, you know, the Han Solo days.
Back when he could stand up straight, he was fantastic.
Oh, stop it.
Speaking again to
MTV. He's one of our elders. Stop it.
He's the legends. Speaking to MTV again, original Ghostbusters director Ivan Reitman has confirmed that he will return to direct Ghostbusters 3. And Sam Raimi and Tobey Maguire have left the Spider-Man franchise. Spidey looks set for a reboot in 2012, but without the man who brought it all back. And they're going to go all the way back to the hero's origins. Raimi issued a backhand of a statement saying, "Working on the Spider-Man movies was the experience of a lifetime for me. While we were looking forward to doing a fourth one together, the studio and Marvel have a unique opportunity to take the franchise in a new direction, and I know they will do a terrific job." Who knows, this may signal a return to a horror focus for Raimi. He made 2009's Drag Me to Hell.
Hilarious.
And rumour has it another Evil Dead film could be in the works.
Even more hilarious. Love it. Box Office Mojo reports that Marvel's 4 has moved from the planned May 20th to 11 date to Spider-Man's 4's May 5th to 11 slot. This gives 4 the big tentpole date of the US summer, and while Spidey is listed for the same date, we're sure that that will be officially changed real soon. And with an opening in 4's old date, Disney has decided to move Pirates of the Caribbean, oh dear, on Stranger Tides into the May 20th, 2011 release date. And that's from slashfilm.com and boxofficemojo.com.
And reviews for the vampire flick Daybreakers, it's an Australia-US co-production, are starting to come through, and they're not too bad. Most have applauded the originality of the film's premise and the cast, but it sounds like the plot gets a little bit tangled up at the end. See it for yourself. The film's going to be released here on the 21st of January.
And the Academy Awards visual effects branch announced on Wednesday that the shortlist of 15 movies released in mid-December have been whittled down to 7 films: Avatar, District 9, Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, Star Trek, Terminator Salvation, Transformers Revenge of the Fallen, and 2012.
One of the big films of 2010, Clash of the Titans director Louis Leterrier has said no to 3D and has Massive Attack, not Muse, on the score.
Massive that Attack, wonderful.
Breaks my heart. I'm a big Muse
I'm
fan.
I'm happy about it.
We tried.
Who can afford Muse now anyway?
Ah, look.
They own a whole island called
still grounded.
England, isn't it?
We tried to do 3D for Clash. We tried hard. We just won't have time, Leterrier explained. Maybe we can possibly re-release it in 3D.
Or 4D.
So there's hope there.
Mm. And TV news. Still no confirmation on whether or not Heroes will be back for a fifth season. Angela Bromstead, NBC's president in charge of primetime entertainment, has said that Heroes has currently wrapped production but was tight-lipped about the finale and the possibility of the show's return, and that was from www.eonline.com.
However, Greg Grunberg, who plays Matt Parkman on the struggling series, has told Entertainment Weekly's Michael Osiello that Heroes was coming back. "We wrapped yesterday and the final episode is nowhere near a series finale," Grunberg said. "It is a cliffhangery and exciting, but it is nowhere near an end to a series that people are so invested in. It does not tie everything up in a neat bow. I don't have any doubt that the show will be back." To be honest, I'd go with the NBC rep on that one.
And we all know Joss Whedon's poor luck with the Fox network, and it continues. The series finale of Dollhouse is only a couple of weeks away. The final episode is scheduled for the 22nd of January, while the show failed to achieve ratings it needed for renewal.
It's shaping up to be another fan favourite going into the stable with things like Buffy, Angel and Firefly. And AussieCon 4, the 68th World Science Fiction Convention, or WorldCon, will take place in Australia from the 2nd to the 6th of September 2018. At the Melbourne Convention and Exhibition Centre. Guests of honour include award-winning author Kim Stanley Robinson and award-winning Melbourne artist Sean Tan. For more details, you can go and see our Facebook page. Just search for Sci-Fi and Scream. And that's our show.
That's it.
For tonight.
Wrapping up. And we've had some great guests. First off, we had the wonderful Corey McAbee to explain himself and Stingray Sam, which is going to be released as of later today, showings at the Acme Cinema at Fed Square on the 15th to the 29th, Fridays 9:30 on their Freaky Friday sessions. And then we had Tony Pittman,
who was speaking to us about ghosts and spirits and things that go bump in the night. And he was giving us his sceptical point of view on those sorts of things.
Theory.
You're telling us a little bit about string theory as well.
That was cool.
Go check out our Facebook page for all the links that he mentioned.
And next week, what's happening?
We are going to talk about Aussie horror films, or at least Aussie horror and sci-fi output, in honour of Australia Day, which upcoming. Obviously comes up on the 26th. Our show's going to be on a little bit before that. So join us for some good old chat and some great tunes. And thank you very much for being with us tonight.
Sci-Fi and Squeam was synthesised and squashed into shape by Sonia, Albert and Kaz. For more information, visit our Facebook page, Sci-Fi and Squeam, or check out joy.org.au.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.